Hello, and welcome to another episode of Waves of Change, a Great Lakes Now digital series focused on highlighting the diverse voices shaping the environmental justice movement throughout the Great Lakes region. I'm Anna Seisling, and I'm grateful to you for tuning in. Joining me today is Alicia Smith, Executive Director of the Junction Coalition, a community nonprofit organization based in Toledo, Ohio.
Waves of Change is brought to you by the Fred A. and Barbara M. Erb Family Foundation, the Charles Stewart Mott Foundation, Richard C. Devereaux Foundation for Energy and Environmental Programs at DPTV, Polk Family Fund, DTE Energy Foundation, and listeners like you. Thank you.
I want to hear from you in this moment. What does environmental justice mean to you, Alicia?
Environmental justice means that we as the people are taking care of our space, our nature, our habitats to the best of our ability, making sure that we are aware of how to care for our environment and making sure that there are regulations and mandates that govern us to do just that.
You are, like I said in the intro, the executive director for the Junction Coalition. So for folks who are listening to this and aren't familiar with the Junction Coalition, tell us a little bit about that organization.
Junction Coalition is a community-based organization made up of four pillars of justice. Those four pillars are social justice, environmental justice, economic justice, and peace education. Those are intertwined as it relates to each pillar. Today, we're talking about environmental justice. And if you look at the issues around lead exposure, quality, water quality, air quality, these are all things that are connected to human social impact. And so Junction Coalition has worked since 2012 around these concerns, particularly if we look at the algal bloom in 2014, which caused over 500,000 people to be without their water. Don't touch the water, don't drink the water, don't bathe in the water. Water is life, we hear that. But when you think about that, those days that we could not expose ourselves to our water, we had to drive great distance to get water. We had to inform elders who did not have digital capabilities to that they could not drink their water. And we know that the microcystins is a neurotoxin. So many folks who did consume it or did connect with it became ill. Dogs died. A number of harsh and harmful things happened. But what we said that we wouldn't do is complain, but get out and let our feet hit the pavement and begin to notify and educate and create options and opportunities for laws, regulations, and mandates that would protect and support reducing the algal blooms within the Maumee River, within Lake Erie.
That being back in 2014, that was nearly a decade ago. And I imagine you probably have been engaged in this work for even longer than that. I wonder if we can talk a little bit about your background and how you first got involved in environmental justice and how that sort of, you know, materialized and led to you working and leading the Junction Coalition.
My background as a kindergarten teacher and a criminal justice student and graduate, it helped me to see there was something bigger that was going on with our children. And as it relates to the school to prison pipeline, our children, if they're not reading by third grade, then we begin to assume that they're going to be in some delinquent criminal behavior because reading is fundamental. But we need to go back further when you begin to talk about restorative justice and restorative practices. Our children being exposed to lead, we need to understand that that is an environmental harm. And so as a teacher, principal of this elementary, junior high, high school, intermediate school, it was our responsibility to educate parents as well as our children on what they could and couldn't put into their mouths, making sure that our children became part of the citizen science. Parents understood that they could get their soil tested, have dust rags for their windowsills. And so as far back as 15 years plus, this work has become paramount. Environmental justice is making sure people are aware of the harms within their community. And social justice is making sure that they know how to advocate for themselves to be sure that they aren't putting themselves in further harm. And economic justice is making sure that the people are more important than the profit and that there is an opportunity for everyone to have equitable access to environmental justice. And peace is when you're not living the trauma day to day, but you have been given the option and the opportunity to understand how to reduce that trauma through therapy and mental health support.
I really appreciate you sort of read my mind there. I was going to ask you about the how these different four pillars within the Junction Coalition kind of intersect and the ways that you see and approach the kind of interconnectedness in your work. So thanks for kind of knowing that I was going to, or intuiting rather, that I was going to ask you about that. I wonder though, in this moment, it sounds like you are still thinking a lot about water, thinking a lot about water quality and lead and all the different ways that we see that impacting communities. In addition to that, in the Toledo area, are there additional environmental issues that you all are working on or things that you're identifying as like big challenges that you're hoping to tackle or at least begin to approach in the future?
Of course, air quality, you know, improving our air quality, energy sufficiency as it relates to solar and solar panels and solar installation. We're definitely thinking about something that folks don't have on their radar, which is if there is a failing infrastructure, an aging infrastructure, there's also an aging workforce. And so we are working with our young people to become more green ambassadors, beginning to have the initiative to look at what green jobs are available to our children, water technicians, air quality control, you know, a number of things, solar installers, and exposing young people to that. If they've never seen it and never been exposed to it, then they will live in a box that it doesn't exist or that it doesn't impact them. And so what Junction has been doing, along with all of our partners, whether it be public health institutions or private and public sector, we are making sure that the workforce information is exposed to the public so that we do not have a system that doesn't have any sustainability. So either whether it be water, air, or soil, all quality of life and quality of environment is paramount. But if folks aren't working in those areas, we are doomed.
That makes a lot of sense. And, you know, based on what you were sharing about your educational background, first, you know, in teaching and criminal justice, and now, if I'm not mistaken, I think that you are studying the impacts of community education. And that just sounds so integral in everything that you were just describing. So I wonder if you could talk a little bit about this piece, I guess, and in what ways that community education and accessibility and getting resources out to people is such an important part of this work.
I'm blessed to be a doctoral student at the University of Toledo now, and our work is the theories of social foundations of education. For my dissertation, I'm blessed to be able to say that I want and will and have done the work of community education. Nothing about us without us. And we need to start in the spaces of environment. We are the environment. The environment exists, but we take on and care for the environment, thus taking care of ourselves. And so what we don't know will hurt us. We have to begin to educate community so that the community can begin to educate others. Let us become part of what it is we're attempting to protect, our environment. Mm-hmm.
So in terms of policy and solutions, I wonder if there are any particular efforts in that area that the Junction Coalition is working on that you can tell me about.
You see a lot within the policy procedures talk about disadvantaged communities, but there's no definition. So we're working to give a definition to what is a disadvantaged community. You hear a lot of people talk about equity, but there are no equity matrix, no way of checking and making sure people are doing the work, whether it's distribution of funds from an equitable process whether it's equity as it relates to work and workflow, or our public servants attending to their citizens. What have you done for me lately? Have you been doing work in making sure that you're a water champion for the Great Lakes in our Midwest? Have you, as a governor or a premier of the Great Lakes, been able to educate and tell folks what's going on and what we can expect? We know that the access to water is paramount. The access to quality air and quality sources of energy and renewable energy is going to be the very thing that keeps our society going. So where and how has our politicians, our public servants been in that space for us? So Junction is working to put together an equity matrix that we can all use to elevate the voice of those that have not been heard. We're very culturally competent and culturally responsive. We're people of color, and we have to understand that racism didn't go anywhere. So I don't want anyone to think that, you know, okay, well, what is our privilege and are we functioning in this space? No, we understand that there is harm and that as long as you keep that division, that harm continues. So we work to ensure that we can all work across the aisle, holding hands together, no matter the color, creed, or race. Because without that, we continue that division, we continue that deficit and those disparities. And those are the things that keep us from growing. So I wanted to make sure that folks know we are not only culturally competent and responsive, but we have conversations across all aisles.
When you're looking out to the future of the work that the Junction Coalition will continue and potentially even new projects that you're excited to take on in the next year, 2 years, 5 years, can you tell me a little bit about anything that you all have planned and things that you are sort of currently envisioning and imagining as possibilities for the future of this work?
Well, as you know, even with the winter months coming, there are things that you have to be concerned about with climate resilience and adaptation. So we are going to be working with the Energy Foundation and the Black environmental leaders to put out climate education in a series called Listen, Lead, Serve. So we'll be doing that as most people will be homebound due to the weather. We'll make sure that those are podcasts as well as webinars, and make sure that we are looking at the digital divide and making sure everyone has access. We also are going to be talking about what we're planning to do as it's snow removal. Snow removal has everything to do with environment, you know, how we remove snow and where that snow melts, how the water is stored. All of the things that, you know, folks generally don't think about. Are there areas of flooding when things melt? You know, all of those things. And so Junction continues to educate residents. We're not just working in Toledo anymore. This work is throughout the Great Lakes and across the country.
So, Alicia, as you've already alluded to and demonstrated in so many ways, this work clearly happens in community. And I think is also really a testament to the sort of lineage when we think about whose shoulders we're standing on, you know, as this work for environmental justice continues. So I want to give you an opportunity to give a shout out to if there have been any teachers, mentors, or organizations that have been really formative for you in doing this work. And if there are other orgs right now alongside you doing good work that you want to mention.
The list is vast, and I fight back tears as I think about all of the ancestral engagement and support that I've had with women like Monica Lewis Patrick of We the People of Detroit, individuals like Crystal Davis of the Alliance for the Great Lakes. There are so many nonprofit NGOs that have truly, my daughter, Alexis Smith, as a bioengineer, you know, going out and fighting and doing what's necessary for individuals who can't. My children, Major and Joseph Smith, and my granddaughter, the reason I do this work, Elise Smith. But I recently just lost my mother, a woman who helped my biological parents raise me. And she owned and operated a daycare center. And she always said, in all that you do, Alicia, think of the children. And so I say the same thing to our listeners. In all that we do, let's think of the children. And us that are in the middle age, think of those that are elders. And how do we all take care of each other? How do we all lift each other in a way that is respectful? I'm thankful to have had the mentors in my life that I've had, the women, the men who spent the time to talk to me and teach me. And I pray that I will be the same benefit to the young people to whom I'm blessed to work with. And I always say that we stand on the shoulders of our ancestors with blood around our knees. And the only way to reduce the harm is to do it together.
And that actually kind of beautifully leads into the last question that I have for our conversation, which is, you know, this work, it's powerful work, it's important work. And I think it also can be really, really easy to get burned out. I wonder what you do to sort of just be cognizant and pay attention to those feelings of burnout if and when they arise, and what you do to make sure that, you know, you're also making space for joy and unplugging and relaxing.
My family is my getaway. My husband of 30 years, Major Smith Jr., and my children and grandbaby, as I now have children of 25, 27, 29, they're all beginning to move out, do what they need to do. My husband and I are empty nesters. This work is definitely something that will create, whether it's climate anxiety is what they're attempting to call it now, burnout. I love to sing. I love music. So when I don't have my family around me, I generally wake up into music. You know, I have means of ain't no mountain too high, no valley low, you know, water is life, you know, a number of things. Milwaukee Water Commons has a beautiful water video that they share that they call Liquid Gold. I watch that. And Junction has a beautiful video of Bee Water. I watch that. One of my favorite artists is Tweet. And I listen to that music because that music is soulful in contemporary music. But I absolutely love gospel music. My father was a gospel quartet lead. And so I listen to music because music speaks to your soul. And if you think about the indigenous people, they use drums and music to communicate. They use the stars and the earth around them to lead and guide. And so we have to go back to that to really pull from the earth our peace to ensure that we don't become overburdened, burnt out, and harmed in doing this work.
Well, Alicia Smith, Executive Director of the Junction Coalition, what an honor and joy it has been to talk with you. I'm really, really grateful to you for making the time, and thank you again for all the work that you do.
Thank you, Anna, for having me, and be blessed.
Waves of Change is a production of Great Lakes Now and Detroit Public Television. This digital series is produced and edited by me, Anna Seisling, with additional support from Jordan Wingrove. Great Lakes Now's executive producer is Rob Green, and Detroit Public Television's vice president of content is Ed Moore.
Waves of Change is brought to you by the Fred A. and Barbara M. Erb Family Foundation, the Charles Stewart Mott Foundation, Richard C. Devereaux Foundation for Energy and Environmental Programs at DPTV, Polk Family Fund, DTE Energy Foundation, and listeners like you. Thank you.